of John chapter number 20. You know that everything that Jesus did, he did for us. There was nothing that Jesus did that he did for himself. It was for us, even though as we celebrate today, we are celebrating Christ, the risen Lord. It is actually our celebration because Jesus came for you and I. So you should be excited. Hallelujah. John 20, verse 30 says, "And truly Jesus did many other things or signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." So there are things that the Lord Jesus did over the 3.5 years of his ministry. And you know, John lets us know in another chapter, I say, if they were to be written, that the book, no book on earth would be able to contain the things that Jesus did. You just think about that. He did many more miracles. He did many more signs, many more things than the ones that are recorded. But guess what? The Holy Spirit allowed these things that are written to be written because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Look at the next verse, verse 31. But these are written. So the things that are written, they are written that what? That you may believe. See, the word of God is to be believed. The word of God has no power in anybody's life if they don't believe it. The word of God is to be believed. The purpose for the documentation of God's word is that people will read it, people will hear it, and they will do what? They will believe. They will believe that Jesus is the Christ. The word Christ means the Messiah. It means the anointed one and his anointing, the one that is called of God, the one that is sent of God. Hallelujah. That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, so the believing is to produce something. It will result in something. Say, believing, you may have life in his name. So the purpose for which scripture was written, for which the Holy Spirit inspired people to read, to write the scriptures, is so that we will believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And that you believe that he is the Son of God. And you know, one of the reasons, one of the major reasons why they crucified him is because he said what? I am the Son of God. Because they're saying he's equated himself with God. Because Jesus is God. He is God the Word who came in human flesh. But notice this, it is important, everything that Jesus did, his birth, his work on it, the life that he lived, his suffering, his death on the cross, and his resurrection, it was all done because of you. And the only way you can enjoy what Christ has come to do for us is what? Is to believe. Believing is crucial in Christianity. Amen. You know, it is when you believe it that you are able to experience everything that Jesus died for. Look at the verse 31 in the Amplified Version. You understand what it means from the Amplified Version. It says, but these things, these are written down so you will believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And in the act of believing, have real and eternal life in the way he personally revealed it. Now, what he's saying here, you will receive life and you'll be able to live the way Jesus lived. You know, Jesus lived eternal life on earth. And you know, I always say that Jesus is both our substitute and our example. So he came to take our place. And we've been studying that, haven't we? We've been talking about trading places. Jesus became the Lamb of God who came to take what? The sins of the whole world. Jesus had no sin in himself. He had none of his own sin to pay for. He came for you and I to take our sin away. You know, Jesus will never have died on the cross if God had not put your sin on him. In fact, that's why the Bible says he was made sin that we might become. You say, he who knew no sin. Yes, that's the full way. He who knew no sin was made sin. If Jesus had gone to the cross and he did not carry your sin, they could keep nailing him, he would not die. Because death only comes when there is sin. Every evil you see in the world today came as a result of sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, it says through one man, the disobedience of one man, what happened? Sin came, and what happened through sin? Death. He said death began to reign. Before Jesus died and shed his blood, death was reigning. And you know, when you hear death, people just think of physical death. It means that everything, every crime, every evil in the world was reigning. To reign means to have authority, to have dominion. Guess what? Guess what God ordained for humanity in the garden? What did he say to them? He said he blessed them. And he said, have dominion. But you know, Satan said to Jesus when he was tempting Jesus, he said, all of these things have been yielded to me. Who yielded it? Adam. So the Bible says death was reigning from Adam to Moses, kept reigning. Because without sin, there is no death. In order for Jesus to pay for our sins and to take away death and give us eternal life, what did he have to do? God had to place on him. That's the scapegoat. Remember, we talked about the goat? The priest would lay his hands on the goat and put all of the sin of the people because the goat is innocent. So he had to put the sin, so the sin was transferred from the people onto the goat. So Jesus had to take that sin, otherwise they keep nailing and nailing, nothing will happen. You know what Jesus said? He said, no one has the power to take my life. He said, of my own free will, I lay it down. And so Jesus took our sin, he took our place, and we've talked about that a lot. And so that, you know, this scripture is saying that in believing, you will be able to experience the life that Jesus experienced here on earth. Do you believe it, brothers? This is what he's saying. The way Christ revealed it, he was our example. He ruled. Do you know Jesus reigned in this world? He reigned over sickness. Sickness could not touch his body. Why do you think he did it? He lived it for you as an example that if you have eternal life, you can live above sickness. I know for us, it looks like, Pastor, what are you saying? No, I'm not saying that you don't feel sicknesses in your body, but you are supposed to rule over it because Jesus reigned over it. And he said the eternal life, the way he revealed it to us. He reigned over his emotions. We are to be able to rule over our emotions. We are not supposed to get hot today and cold tomorrow. He reigned the way Christ revealed it. Praise God. I said, praise God. So everything you see Jesus did, he did it as an example. And he did it because he had what? Eternal life. And when you receive him, what do you receive? Eternal life. Hallelujah. Oh, let's keep going. Romans chapter 4. The many things he did for us. You know, Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, for what? Unto us a child is born. Unto us. Unto us a son is given. So the coming of Christ was for you. It was for me. In Isaiah 53 verse 4, it says, surely he has borne what? Our griefs. Jesus bore our griefs. Do you know you can live above grief? Amen. If he did it for you, you don't have to experience it anymore. It can come, but you don't entertain it. I'm saying today that, you see, the coming of Christ will not benefit us much if we don't enjoy all of the things that he has paid for. And it's a choice when you believe what is written. In believing, you will have that life. And when you have that life, you'll be able to live it out. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 4. Let's look at Romans chapter 4. Verse 25 says, who was betrayed and crucified because of what? Our sins. Do you know your sin is no longer a problem with God? You are not to wake up every day and say, I don't know whether God will forgive me. That's a wrong thinking. Because what is written? That Jesus was betrayed and he was crucified for your sin. He didn't have any sin to pay for. It was my sin. And because of our sins, and was raised from the dead because of what? Our justification, your justification. So the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus means something for us. For our sins he died. We see, he couldn't have just died alone, because we would not be justified. He had to rise for us to be justified. In order to become a Christian, you must believe that Jesus died, and you must believe that he rose from the grave. If you don't believe the two, you are not saved. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10, it said, for with their heart, man believes unto what? Unto righteousness, and with the confession is made unto salvation. It says, if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Without believing that Christ rose. So the resurrection is a major, major, the most important part, I believe, in Christianity. You know, when the disciples preached, the Bible says they preached Jesus and the resurrection. You must believe that Christ rose, because it is the resurrection that enables you to be justified, to have the life of God, and to live the life of God, and to live a life of triumph over every situation. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said he rose for our look at what justification means. Your acquittal. You've been acquitted. I say you've been acquitted. In the court of this life, you are no longer guilty. Say, I'm not guilty. If the enemy comes or somebody is coming around trying to accuse you of something, what do you tell them? I'm not guilty. Who accuses you? Do you know? The Bible calls Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Even if your own mind is accusing you. You know, what you're hearing now, you know, you're blessed to be hearing it. When I was coming up as a Christian, I wasn't taught like that. Every night I would go to bed, say, Lord, please, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord. Ah, Lord. You would do everything. You go to service, you go to all the meetings, you go to everything. You know, if you were coming back, maybe you frowned at somebody. Ah, you're in trouble. I couldn't sleep. This says, Jesus has done it. He has paid for it. There's no price that you can pay for your salvation. There is no sacrifice that is recognized in heaven except the sacrifice that Christ has paid. Hallelujah. In believing, what will you have? You have life when you believe. Your Christian life will be a life of joy. You will never be feeling guilt and shame and all of those things. Those things would even come. If it comes to your mind, what do you do? You declare what Christ has done. You see, when God looks at you, he doesn't see you. That is, doesn't see your flesh. He sees you in the blood of Jesus. Because Jesus has taken the blood. We said last Sunday, what did he do? When he rose from heaven, we read that scripture that he said to Mary, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. He said, go and tell my brothers that I'm going to. What's he going to do? He is the high priest. He's just risen from the grave. He needs to take the blood to the throne and pour it on the mercy seat. And then he will sit down at the right hand side of the Father forever. You see, when God looks, he's seen the mercy seat. And that's why the Bible says you can approach God. You can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you said acquittal, absolving us of what? Oof. This lets you know how precious you are to God. God is so eager. He's so wanting. He's so desiring of fellowship with you that he had to take anything that will stop you from fellowshipping with him, because sin will stop you from fellowshipping with God. You can't fellowship with a holy God, but he's done something about it. Hallelujah. Say not guilty. Say it again, not guilty. Hallelujah. But you know, today and these few moments that I have, I want to let you know that something has been written concerning the resurrection. What the resurrection of Christ has done for us, we must enjoy it while we're here on earth. Amen. Do you know that? Let me read that scripture first. Go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Isaiah 53, verse 5. It says, but he was wounded for what? Our transgressions. He was bruised for our. You keep seeing the pronoun, our, us. That should make, if he did it, then I have to see the benefit in my life if he did it for me. We all believe that we are saved, amen? Amen. Why do you believe that you are saved? Because Jesus shed his blood. Now, look at the next one. We must take the whole thing. He says, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. Do you know you have no reason to not be at peace? If you are feeling, you know, peace is a vital ingredient for an enjoyable life. Anybody who is not at peace is not alive. They are not living the eternal life. Hallelujah. You know, can you imagine you're living every day and you're just in turmoil, your mind, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What is he going to give? I'll give you rest. That's peace. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but with everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. And what? The peace of God. Peace is key. He is the Prince of Peace. The punishment. You know, anytime you're feeling tortured and you're not at peace, say, well, Jesus already paid for it. I don't have to have lack of peace. I don't have to be troubled in my mind. I don't have to be tormented mentally, emotionally. You don't have to. He has paid for it. He paid the punishment. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, these are written. See, the issue is not that it's not available to you. The issue is that you're not believing it. I don't have to be able to figure out how it will happen. Concerning anything, concerning my children, concerning our future, concerning everything, concerning the church, I am not to worry. Because Jesus took the punishment so that I can have peace. But I have to believe what is written. Amen. Because it was written so that I will believe. And that by believing, I will experience it. You need to believe it to leave it. You've got to believe. You've got to believe for peace so that nothing will move you. You know, Jesus actually said it. He said, the Bible says, nothing shall make you afraid. When you go to bed, anything that comes to your mind trying to stop you from sleeping well, you just say, Jesus paid for it. Hallelujah. Keep saying it every day. I have the peace of God on the inside of me because Jesus paid for it. You know, your torment at night is like you are crucifying Jesus again, as if he hasn't paid for it. Now, this is where I'm going today. This is where I'm going. He says, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by what? By his stripes. Now listen to this. By his stripes, who is healed? You are healed. Someone said, well, Pastor, you don't know, I have some medical conditions and all of that. In fact, after service this morning, somebody was telling me that they had to, and I had to use to bring that word to them again. See, the thing is, they are looking at their medical condition. They are not looking at what is written. You've got to believe what is written, not what you are experiencing. That's the way it works. You believe it, then it works for you. The experiencing of what God says is to believe what is by his stripes, you are healed. Why would the scriptures write it? Why would you believe the first part that when he took your sins, you are now saved? But you don't believe in the same breath he's saying it. It's the same breath. He hasn't finished. There's not even a full stop yet. By his stripes. You know, today, as we're talking resurrection, every sickness in your body, you are discharged of it. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It is your right. Just like salvation is your right. Eternal life is your right. It's your right by what Christ did, not by what you did. But you've got to believe what is written. When Jesus was tempted, what did he say? It is written. That's it. You've got to believe what is written. You cannot have a greater prophecy than what is written. You can't, you know, if you say, I want to go to a big man of God. No. You don't need a big man of God. What you need is what is written. You will be deceived if you are looking for something else. He said, believe what Jesus used. It is written. You read it 3 times. And you know what happened? The Bible says the devil left him for what? Because he's coming back. And when he comes back, what do you tell him? You don't need to figure out. Some people try, let me go and read, let me go to seminary and learn many things. You don't need to. Just find out. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So simple. It is written. And now because of time, hallelujah. Can you give me extra 5 minutes?
Yes.
Amen. Luke 24, I'll show you something. You know, in order to experience the resurrection power working in you, you've got to believe what is what? What is written. You know, when Jesus rose from the dead, some of his disciples, you know, he didn't just have 12 disciples. There were times he sent the 70 out and all. So these people were going to Emmaus. And the news was spreading that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now look at it. Yes, and certain women of our company. So now they were walking, and the Lord had done it that they couldn't recognize Jesus physically. Do you know you don't need to see Jesus physically? All you need to do is to see what is real, because Jesus is the Word. So I say, oh, Lord, if you can appear to me at night. There are many people, he walked among them. And their lives were not changed. What is written is more powerful than any physical thing. That's why you don't go for spectacular things. You say, phew! You say, tosh. Say tosh. Some of you don't want to say it, amen. You are scared. What is written? Now, Jesus rose from the dead, and God made sure that they couldn't recognize him physically. Let's keep going. So they're telling Jesus. So he's asking them, so what are you, why are you so worried? Because they're going about worry. So why are you worried? They say, you know, we're talking about what's going on. You know, some people, we talk about what's going on in town, and we get worried and tired. You listen to the news. By the time you finish, you say, ah, this world. What is this world coming? So that's what they are doing, because they didn't have Twitter, they didn't have CNN and all of those things, they didn't have BBC News, but they said, you know, there's news. Say, yes, certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. Verse 23. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels. Who what? Who said he was alive? Now, Why do you think these people are like this? They don't believe what they've been taught and what has been written. Otherwise, they should never have been in this position that they're in. Keep going. Verse 24. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. You know, maybe they didn't believe the women. Let's go and find out for ourselves. But him they did not see. 25. Then he said to them, now this is Jesus, he's with them. They can't see him. They can't recognize him. So he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to do what? To believe." You see, the issue is believing. They are slow of heart. They shouldn't have been in this situation they were in, but they didn't believe. He said, they didn't believe in all the prophets that the prophets had spoken. So if Jesus had not opened their eyes with this, what he's doing now, there will be the resurrection power, the resurrection life will be available to them, but they will enjoy it. Next verse, verse 26. Ought not the Christ, have you not read it? Have you not heard it? Has it not been written in your books? Ought not the Christ to have suffered? You saw him suffer. These things, all the things you're describing, as, didn't he just jolt you and say, "Whoa, wow, this is what we read. This is what we were taught." No, nothing. Because they are not focusing on what to believe. They are focusing on what they will see. These things, and to enter into his glory. Verse 27, I love this. And beginning at Moses. Oh, God. Jesus started from Genesis. My God. He was on the road with them. He wanted to show them what is written. So it began at Moses. What is Moses? Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So you refuse to learn, eh? You will learn by force today. So it began from Moses. And what? And all, do you know all the prophets? Isaiah, Hosea, Jeremiah, what? Ezekiel, Daniel. He expounded. These people have thought, oh, we should have taken it when we went to church. Expounded to them in what? Scriptures. Concerning every scripture speaks about Jesus. You know, in Genesis, when he said, after they fell, you know, he said to the serpent, he said, "You will do what? You will bruise the heel, but her what? Her seed will crush your head." That's Jesus there. Jesus is called the seed of the woman. So Jesus began to show them what is written is more important. The next thing he did, you know, after speaking to them, look at what happened. Verse 32, quickly. Verse 32. Do you have verse 32? And they said to one another, look at this is them, the two people. Cleopas was one of them. Did not our heart do what? Burn within us while he talked with us on the road. And while he did what? He opened the scriptures to us. The scriptures. Jesus rose from the dead. Instead of saying, it's me, can't you see this? No. He opened scripture. Because when I have left and you don't see me physically, what you need is the scriptures. What is written. That you may believe. And in believing, you will have life. Hallelujah. And then when he met the other disciples, I'll go there. Verse 44, quickly. 44. When he met the other disciples, in verse 44, then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written." Written. Today you've got to, your life has to be based on what is written, not what somebody said, not what your culture said, not what your tradition said, not what, you know, not your some kind of belief, some fables. Christianity is not based on fables. It is based on what is written about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What is written in the law of Moses and the prophets, so he's repeating it. And even in the Psalms concerning me. Praise God. So why am I talking about all of these things now? I'm saying it because it is written that by his stripes. Do you believe it? Oh, yes. Today, every sickness is gone in the name of Jesus. Because the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. You know, Peter lets us know that by his stripes we were healed. We were healed. Don't leave this place believing in sickness anymore. Are you listening to me? No, maybe you feel pain and everything, but just say to that pain, by his stripes, I believe it. And because I believe it, it will affect every part of my body, every part of your mind. The Bible says you have a sound mind. Do you know your mind is perfect? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Your mind is sound. Don't tell anybody and say, you know my mind, I don't know, it's playing up. Your mind is not playing up. Because Jesus paid for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, he that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body. I want you to bow your head right now and begin to say, Lord, I thank you that you paid the price. By your stripes, Jesus, I am healed. This is resurrection. The resurrection life is working in my body. I believe what is written. Kurabasakatarabanda. Even if you've received the report from the doctors, oh yes, it's what they've seen that they've told you. But you don't walk by what you see. It's what is written. We believe. I believe that my body is whole. My kidneys well. My lungs are well. Oh, Kambrozeka, every blood disease, every pain, every ache, Jesus paid for. By your stripes, I am healed emotionally, mentally, physically. I'm healed. Begin to declare it. I believe it. Oh, it says, in believing, you will have life, power flowing through your body today. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you because your people have been discharged of every sickness, of every pain, in the name of Jesus. Because you paid for it. Thank you for the resurrection power. Resurrection power is at work in us. At work in the little ones, the babies in the house, resurrection power is working through every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together for Jesus.